Amen. Good morning, men. It's good to see you all this morning, and welcome from the land in between clam chowder of Boston and hot wieners of New York. And they will be quick to inform you in Rhode Island that a hot wiener is not a hot dog. You never put ketchup on a hot wiener because it's got onions and peppers and pork and beef and a hot wiener. And it's just like, there are restaurants of hot wieners out here. Never saw anything like that in Wisconsin or the Midwest, but they're pretty amazing. No question about it. Yes. And we're going to be talking about Moses today. And Moses was really a very special guy, obviously. And I found myself looking at this chapter, and there's, first I thought there isn't much to talk about. And the more I got into it, I said, oh my gosh, there's so many rabbit trails that go down. We could talk about, why wasn't Moses' wife with him? How come Jethro didn't know the eternal God that Moses knew? I mean, there's all these rabbit trails you could go down. Jethro listening to a person who just discovered that God is real, that Moses' God is a real God. But I decided not to go down those rabbit trails, and I was scribbling stuff until 1 o'clock last night, and I think I'm going to talk about Moses. I think of all the things that I read online, and there was some good stuff, and thank you, Chris, for sending me some of those articles. They're unbelievable. Chris Decker sent me some articles on chapter 18, and I didn't see anyone talk about Moses' character. And, you know, when you think of God raising leaders, does God raise leaders to lead his people? Can the God of creation find and give us good leaders? Are we afraid of a leader? Is a leader afraid that his leadership will be taken away? Does a leader have good theology, but bad sociology? This leader, Moses, he can't cave in. A humble man at this time in his life, to be sure, but he can't cave in. Like we've seen leaders, spiritual leaders, business leaders, family leaders, you name it, we've seen them cave in. It's painful. We see them cave in. And we have personal leaders that have been in our life that we've seen cave in. I don't necessarily like the term leader. I don't know why, because that's really what he is, but it's bigger than leader. And so I thought of a word this morning, influencer, like a person influences others. Whether you want to or not, you become an influencer in your surrounding, typically. God is the restorer of his people, his church, his stewards. But remember, it is said that in the absence of leadership, people will follow anything. They'll follow anybody. But I remember this joke I heard about this young man who shows up at a retirement party, his boss's retirement party, and he sees his retired friend, and he says to him, man, how did you become so successful? And the retired friend answered him, two words, good decisions. Wow. The young man asks, how did you ever learn how to make good decisions? And the leader, the retired man, said one word, experience. Where did you get all that experience? The young man said, how did you get all that experience? Two words, bad decisions. And there's a lot of truth to that, a lot of truth to that story. It's really not so much a joke as a reality of life, isn't it? And in the absence of true leadership, people will follow anything or anybody. But today, in today's world, leadership influence is still a popular topic. I mean, and for good reason. I just got hit on an advertisement on my phone. It's as if they're listening to me about another leadership seminar going on with Dr. Henry Cloud. And it's just like these seminars are going on and on. And if you search leadership, you get books, seminars, business professionals, church leaders, it's everywhere. There's a lot of money to be made, to be sure. Follow the money. But the Bible isn't a leadership manual, and we must always be careful that we misapply or misinterpret scripture like happens so often. Let's pull all the leadership principles out of the Bible. Nevertheless, there really are a good number of passages directly related to leadership, aren't there? And Exodus 18 is one of the most significant. And when it comes to leadership, it really goes beyond leadership. We get a personal glimpse into Moses' life and Moses' character development. He's had some transforming moments in his life. And today I'm going to reflect on it. Was going to be five, but I thought of the sixth one recently, and I wrote it down on six basic principles about Moses' character that we can apply to our own lives. Whether a husband or a businessman or father, a friend, a church leader, a church member, wherever you are, this applies to us simply because the Holy Spirit does work through God's word and definitely was working in Moses' life. I'm going to read these first seven verses. It says, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people of Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. And after Moses sent away his wife, Zipporah, his father-in-law, Jethro, received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. Oh, I want to make a note here. Studying what the Hebrews said about this, they said that because that's the question, what's he doing by the mountain of God? Jethro brings up the law. Said, "Well, wait a minute, Moses didn't have the law." And the Hebrews say, "Well, we never chronologically put these chapters together like are in the Bible. There's no chronological order to them per se. I mean, so we have no problem with Moses ha already having received the law from the mountain, and then this situation happened." Oh, okay. So anyway, Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, are coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they greeted each other and then went into the tent. Isn't that just wonderful? He bowed down and kissed him. Verse 24 says, as we go on, we'll talk about verse 24 later, but Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. I'll tell you what, principle number one, influencing people number one. Moses, a respected man of authority, to be sure. Respected authority and respected the influence of others. It would have been easy, quite, for me, very natural for Moses to become defensive. Moses needed to protect his own political turf when Jethro advised him. Instead, Moses shows real respect. I mean, he listens, he responds willingly. And as a leader, can you really expect, as an influencer with your friends or your family, can you really expect those around you to respect your authority or your ideas if you don't respect them? And before I go on with what Moses did there, I want to take a little side note here. Greetings are so important. in any situation, in family, in business, in church meetings, to be sure. You know, one friend, many of you know, so I'm not going to mention his name, but he told me that he wished churches could do what Jimmy Fallon does when he greets people. Watch him. Watch Jimmy Fallon when he introduces someone and how special he makes them feel. Moses did that. He really did. And he made Jethro feel special. You can't imagine when I was involved in leadership in the churches where I kind of recommended to one of the pastors, you know, maybe some of these people should take Dale Carnegie. This is bad. This is a bad situation. I mean, the way we're talking with each other, I've gone into meetings and I could sit there for 10 minutes and try to get a conversation. Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. Oh, how many of us have visited a church for a year and you might not have someone pull you on the side and say, hey, what's going on with you, buddy? I've seen you come here for a year. Doesn't happen very often. But you know what? Getting back to the main subject, Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done, didn't he? And let's move down to because he understood the hardships. He understood how the Lord had saved him, and Moses was living with that. But in verse 9. Jethro was delighted to hear about all these good things that the Lord had done for Israel and rescuing them from the land of the Egyptians. And this is where he says, praise be to the Lord. He rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. I know now that the Lord is the greatest of all gods, he says in verse 11. I mean, they treated Israel arrogantly. Then Moses, Jethro's father-in-law, brought a burnt offering, another sacrifice to God. Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Very, very special time. In verse 13, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him, from morning to evening. But when his father-in-law saw what Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and judge while all these people are standing around you from morning till evening? And really, Moses answered him, because the people came to see me. They want to see me to seek God's will. They want to see me. Principle number 2. Authority does have a way of becoming intoxicating. When you influence people, it can become intoxicating. And Moses apparently knew very little about delegating authority, and explains to me why he was becoming overwhelmed, because Jethro said, why do you sit alone as a judge? These people are all standing around you. Does this statement reflect an intoxicating lure of being in control? Oh, absolutely it does. But fortunately, Moses was open to giving up his, call it, centralized control, right? In fact, he was actually eager to do this, as we find out later on. So principle number 2, authority can be intoxicating in the home, in business, and spiritual leadership. Principle number 3 I see with Moses, a great influencer should be invested in others prudently. Verse 16, whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me. I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. And Moses' father-in-law replies in verse 17, you know what? What you're doing is not good, buddy. This is not good. You and these people who came to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. Listen now to me. I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. And you must teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way that they're to live and how they're to behave. But you must select, in verse 21, capable men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you, Moses. Simple cases they can decide themselves. That'll make your load a lot lighter, Moses, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Imagine all these people will go home satisfied. Moses is counseled to fill leadership positions by Jethro. And in verse 17, he says, it's not good. Moses, this is not good. And I wonder how many people told Moses that ever in his life. Jethro sees damage looming over Moses. Well, good for Jethro. This is what I would call an intervention. Maybe you might be a Jethro in someone's life. Maybe you would intervene in someone's life if you see them destroying themselves. And sure enough, in our society, it is. I think more people are dying from drug overdose than are even dying from COVID, if I remember looking at the statistics correctly. Interventions. Good for you, Jethro. Back to the third principle. Authority must be given to others prudently. And Jethro warns Moses to select real capable men, not relatives, not cronies like so many do. I mean, I can tell you a quick story. I've got little time. I'll tell you a quick story. I went golfing with a pastor of mine, and I didn't really know him that well. I didn't know the church structure, and I was talking about the nepotism in the church, and I said, gosh, I've seen so much of it. And to make a long story short, as I got to know him, I didn't know that his wife handled the books in the church. His daughter-in-law was, and I went, I think that was, well, he might have golfed with me one more time after that, but I didn't mean to say anything offensive. I was just saying I can't get over the nepotism in the church. Authority. A leader needs to consider the quality and ability of appointees. And this delegation is really a privilege. And it's not just a handful of positions Moses needs to fill either. Principle four. Authority is a resource to be invested in others. Verse 22. You know, Moses, have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves. That'll make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this as God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will be satisfied. Reading that verse again. When delegating to others, no question about it, incredible energy is released. People will now go much further as a community. And if Moses retains centralized control, that wouldn't happen. Authority, any authority should be used up really in the empowering of others to get things done and act more effectively. That's how you influence others, is you tell them what to do and let them know that they can probably do it more effectively than you can. So authority really should be invested in others prudently. Principle five, effective leadership increases the health of its people and longevity. Moses probably prolonged his own life, literally, and he helped the progress of the nation by appointing effective judges. He had the community grow up. No community can survive if only a handful of workers are involved. But by breaking it down, having far more eyes, far more ears, have many more hands to help with conflict situations, it made a big difference. Effective leadership really increases the health of the people. The last one I thought of late last night, because I thought there's just something going on here that really strikes me, because Moses influenced so many people and he was such a great leader. And it's this, as verse 24, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Can you believe it? He listened and did it. And he chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. It's amazing. Moses responded right away. That is a key leadership principle, a key way of influencing people is when they tell you something, you respond. That is such a rare quality. And sometimes dramatic action is necessary. And Moses probably never even saw the damage his leadership was doing at this time to himself and to others. Great people aren't perfect people. We've all probably seen workaholics. They tend to work harder when things aren't going well, which makes a problem worse, and it just snowballs into a problem. Number six, good leaders respond to good suggestions. Six things. Moses, a respected man of authority, respected authority. Authority, number two, has a way of becoming intoxicating. Number three, authority should be invested in others prudently. Number four, authority and is a resource to be invested in others. Number five, leadership increases the health of its people and longevity and the health of its community. And number six, good leaders respond to good suggestions. All the people being led by Moses probably had a desire for a better community. It's a basic need of life itself. At that time, as well in the present time. But you know what? In America, it's easy to produce examples of how Americans attempt to minimize or even deny that interdependence that all societies are based on. I mean, as Americans, we seek private homes, private transportation, private gardens, private laundry, self-service checkout lines, private exercise videos, multi-billion-dollar business, and we could go on and on and on. It's basically the same in Canada, and it's the same in England, and it's the same in many parts of the world. Have you noticed that our encounters with others even have become increasingly competitive as we search for privacy? The fellow man has really become a nuisance. Maybe you haven't driven on the expressway lately or driven through town, and you know, the fingers come up and the anger and the fists. And you know, whether we like it or not, when we become Christians, though, we become at the same time a member of the Christian church. Eric Peterson spends a lot of time talking about this in The Long Obedience. He talks about this growing problem in America, but he says, you know what? Even if we don't have our name on a church roll, and even if a person says, I love God, but I hate church. I love God, but I can't stand this Christian community. You know what? Even if they're not in a particular congregation, God never, ever make secret salvation deals. God is personal. Yes, to be sure. God is not private. No. God is not private. No Christian is an only child, Peterson said, and I quote, no Christian is an only child. With that in mind, thank you, Jethro. You are the man. And thank you, Moses, for reminding us of that, writing this down, to make us sensitive to what God's doing as an influencer, as a leader in your heart, Moses. May you touch us with that. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.